Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, here we are again for another Thursday. Now, this is our second Thursday of Prophetic Ed. I want to thank you for joining me tonight and also for going back and listening and re-listening and sharing with your friends, your classes, your churches, and your ministries. Truly, God has blessed us in this particular subject, and it's been just taking off this across the country and around the world. So I welcome you all, and I got an aloha from Hawaii. I like hearing from who's out there, so if you want to send us a little shout-out, that's okay. We'll appreciate it. We call this prophetic ed because that is what it does. The whole goal is to see to it that you are equipped prophetically as the body of Christ to discern true and false, to recognize what is or is not coming from the Spirit of God, to move into that dimension of spiritual purity, and also to break the seal on earthly or psychic to spiritual prophecy. There is a difference. As we go through this class, you're going to have an opportunity to look at some of those differences. Between last week and this week, the Lord has been talking a great deal to me about the subject and how to know it. So I'm here to give you some information that would ordinarily just escape you. The reason it's important is because prophecy is of God. The reason we are in a stuck place about it is because for the last 2 years, or I want to say 2 years, for the last several hundred years, we've ignored the office of the prophet, the office of the apostle. So the church really does not know the Lord prophetically. As a matter of fact, you're going to find out as we go forward how we got to the point of where prophecy is just a single-dimensional expression, and that goes into definitions. I've done the research so that you won't have to, and you just look at what we have and take it out. You're going to find out how we ended up here. That's part of what we're going to do. So, Father, we yield this to you tonight. We ask you to take it over. Say what's on your heart. Jesus, manifest the prophet in yourself and your prophetic sphere. Open it up to us that we can be educated and enlightened by your spirit, your wisdom, and understand that this is not something that's new to you or just beginning in our times, but it's something that goes all the way back to eternity. Jesus, we thank you that you're the teacher. We ask you to manifest your word and to tap into what everyone needs to hear to get free, to become empowered, to be equipped, and be furnished with what you prepared for this day. And we thank you for it, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. If you're looking on your screen, you see that I have best students for this training. You know, I'm a firm believer in that not every student is ready for everything and not every training is for everybody, so I'm okay with that. And that's not something that we feel comfortable saying as Christians because, you know, we so love our God and we so love what he's doing that we feel like whatever he gives us should be given to everyone. That's part of how we got into the prophetic place we are today, assuming that everyone should and will handle everything. And while we should all prophesy, not everybody is in the same level or dimension or wisdom for prophecy, and we need to be able to discern who's who and who to listen to and who is living and producing what God would say in this hour. So we're going to talk about it, starting with best student for the training. The best student for this training is anybody who's saved, because prophecy is for the church. Prophecy is for God's people. Even though it speaks to the unbeliever, it is what God put in the church for the believer. Now, that's an interesting statement, so I'm going to go back to that in a moment, but I want to finish saying this. Everyone who is born again in the Lord Jesus Christ is best student for this training. Everyone who is spirit-filled, whoever has the Holy Spirit, is a good student for this training. Why? Because God talks. I mean, God speaks. God is a communicator. There's one thing I do know of you know, all of the confusion that we have over his word is just because we want to impose our way, our darkness on his light, if you will. And that's just to say it succinctly. But God's a talker. He loves to talk. He's a talker. He loves to communicate. He loves to socialize. He enjoys socializing with us. He's a leader. He has duties. He has responsibilities. He's a ruler and sovereign. God truly is all in all. But he's very sociable. And he's extraordinarily communicative, which is why the prophetic exists, because God is communicative. He has to talk to us. He has to tell us what's going on, because there's no way for us to know it any other way. And so everybody who's filled with the Holy Spirit needs this training. Anyone called to the spirit realm, whoever has ever felt a high-end pull and tug to the spirit realm, there are people in the body of Christ who have this innate desire, penchant, if you will, for moving into the higher things. Everyday life is okay for them, but they come alive when God begins to open up, just crack the blinds a little bit to show what's in his world or what's behind the visible world that we live in. And then a sphere of supernatural knowledge, prophecy and divine revelation and creator wisdom and information. There are people who are hungry for that. There are people who are built for it. You're fitted for it. You're outfitted for it and acclimated for it. Now, that doesn't make you automatically a prophet, because there's a whole lot of room between being spiritual and becoming a prophet. You know, we've got the intercessors, we've got the prayers, we've got the seers, the dreamer of dreams, we've got the prophesier versus the prophet, and we've got, you know, the interpreters, and all. There's a whole lot, a whole spectrum. And if this was my class, we would be including in your training the whole spectrum, so that you'll understand that there is no such thing as a catch-all phrase for spiritual communications called prophecy. Prophecy is not the catch-all phrase. We treat it as if it's a catch-all phrase. That's why so many saints, when they hear something outside of this world, outside of their normal auditory organ, they assume that it's God, because we have been taught that there's this catch-all thing. And we do that with everything. I mean, in the church, the reason discernment is not really very prevalent is not because it's not possible or even preferred and desired. It's because the elements of breaking things apart and separating things and detecting differences and nuances, that's not taught, because you can't have that level of knowledge and still tell everybody, I'm going to give you the short version, I'm going to give you the cliff notes, I'm going to give you the bottom line, I'm going to give you the simple version, because God is simple. You know, anytime somebody starts out with God is simple, if you're a thinker, you probably need to pass. You probably should just pack up your little book, take your little Bible or whatever, because God isn't simple. So that's if you want to start out on that errand, then we're going to be in trouble. God isn't simple. So I wanted to say that. So what's the takeaway? Knowing why and how you fit in God's prophetic scheme. Everybody who has the Holy Spirit has the potential of feeling what God says, understanding what he's talking about, and communicating that to others. That doesn't mean that it's an official communication. Sometimes God is interested in talking to you about your children, about your job, about your conduct, your friendships, your relationships, because God is concerned about your entire life, and he's in it. You know, he doesn't get a chance to say, you know what, I just cannot be bothered. You know, I mean, God will tell you, I don't want to be bothered, but to say he cannot be bothered, no, he can't. He can't get out of it. That is why he had to say, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He had to say, I'm with you, because he couldn't, once he came in us, he couldn't do without us. He can't act as if we don't exist. We are in him, and he's in us. Other best students are the spirit awakened. You are the ones that dream, visions, or the feeling that you know, often know something before it happens. That, you know, you're that person who is here and there at the same time. God draws you into his world, his consciousness, his thoughts, his experiences, whenever he gets good and ready. It doesn't make you a prophet, but you are spirit awakened. God hungry. It's impossible to be God's messenger and not be hungry for God. It's just impossible to do it. So if you are really one of those people who have to know God, and prophetic people are definitely God seekers. If they're truly prophetic, they're God seekers. Our concern is enabling you to discern, to choose the right God to follow, and not get caught up in just in ethereal and abstract, vague, and spiritual things. So our job is to make sure you recognize your God from all the other gods. Case in point, I've said to you before that I designed an assessment, and a series of assessments, standardized ministry assessments. I'm sure several of you all who are looking right now, who are listening to me, have heard it or taken it. We've talked about them. Well, there's a category of response in our assessment. Okay, we're pausing. Gotta do what you gotta do. We just break the curse on the technology devil. I'm back again. All right. So, and make sure you all keep playing, because you know we're hitting stuff, and when we're hitting stuff, you know we need intercessors. But I want to go back to what I was saying. I designed the assessments. They're called standardized ministry assessments, and many of you listening to me right now have taken them. And there's a category in the assessment called spiritual purity. Now, the assessments, we have them for the fivefold. So there's the minister's assessment questionnaire, a minister's aptitude questionnaire, rather, and then we have for the prophet, beginner, intermediate, advanced. It literally will filter you out to say whether or not you're beginning prophet, intermediate, or advanced prophet. Now, when the results come back, there's a category on there that says spiritual purity. And that category actually talks about whether or not the assessee can discern the spirit of Christ from every other spiritual immaterial thing. Can they discern what's the difference between supernatural and spiritual? Because sometimes we treat them as synonyms. Well, I'm sure it will come as no surprise to you that far too many members, people who take the assessment, don't do well in spiritual purity. That comes up all the time. And when you talk with them, when we do our advisements, we find out they're, you know, involved in astrology, palm reading. They've gone to so-and-so's, this or that. They've taken this one shaman class and that one sorcery class and this one witchcraft class and all of that. And so because you are taught that it's harmless, you don't realize that everything in the earth has a spiritual power. Everything has to get its authority from something. And everything has to give power to humanity because we surrendered that in the garden. So even though it feels really great and all of that, what it does is it begins to contaminate your spirit. Now, I remember on this subject, I remember when I first got saved, I heard one very renowned minister say that, you know, once you get your new creation spirit, it's intact, it's safe, forever, amen. So I was like, really? It's just like a little baby. I'm a mother of three kids. I know babies can get dirty, get cold, get contaminated, eat the wrong thing, get sick. So I figured that wasn't a good analogy for me. So I was reading the scriptures, and I found out that that was an errant assumption. It comes perfect, but you, like every other part of your life, it takes care. You must be a good steward over your new creation spirit. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says that your new creation spirit can become filthy. Did you notice I rattled that off my head? Because I want you to know that there are certain things God wants you to recognize that have to become part of how you view your salvation. And so when I looked at that, I went back and so I studied it out because I kept thinking, surely this preacher couldn't be wrong. Some of you all listening to me today are in that same boat. Surely this can't be wrong. People cannot be that off in what you're entrusting your soul to. So I studied it out, and it says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So there are things that we do that make your spirit contaminated. Now, why is that important? Because if you have a contaminated spirit, you cannot give pure prophecy. Prophecy for you is on again, off again. Now, here's an analogy. I always use this analogy when I'm training my prophetic to students. You can take a clean glass of milk. Wash the glass, it's clean. Break open the carton, and it's clean. And you can put the straw in the carton that you just got through sipping chocolate milk out of. What's going to happen to that pure glass of milk? So the milk was clean, the glass was clean, but the instrument was not. It was soiled. And that's what you're getting with a lot of people. You have to know these people's lives. You've got to know. If they're standing up there telling you about occultism and they're telling you about shamanism, first of all, you need to know what those things are, because sometimes some of those names sound so pretty, you don't know that they're deadly. You know, I mean, come on. We got a word in scripture called shama, which means hear. And, you know, that's a real word. When you put that N on there, you're talking about who you're hearing from. So there are a lot of things that you have to, you yourself are responsible for. It's your soul. It's your life. You are talking about uprooting your life on somebody's word. You don't know if they just got out of bed of fornication or not. You don't know. You don't know what's going on, but you have to know. I just know him by the Spirit. But what do you know by the Spirit, and what are you measuring it by? What you would or wouldn't do? Because most times you judge people by your own righteousness. But it's God's righteousness that determines whether or not someone is safe for us or they're not. And it's you to be, all of this prophetic act is about making you prophetically safe and sound. If you're taking notes, write that down. It's about making you and your institution, your children, your household prophetically safe and sound. Because the spirits travel on words. John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Revelation, and the spirits came out of the prophet's mouth looking like three frogs. But if you understood Jesus Christ and you understood how his world works, you wouldn't be that gullible. And you cannot judge anything without two pieces of it, the thing being judged and the thing being measured, and the measurement. You got to have a measurement criteria in order to judge. And if you don't know enough about the prophetic, and if you don't understand enough about how God measures and evaluates prophecy, we haven't even gotten a prophet, then you have no way of measuring it, so it's all subjective. It's what you feel. Well, my heart burned within me. You could have had some heart burn. I don't know. Probably need a little gas X or something. I'm not sure. Well, you know what? My baby leaked. You don't know. That could be hiccups. And just because you agree with something, just because you have an emotional response, because you agree, because it makes you enthusiastic, still doesn't mean it's correct. Enthusiasm does not make for accuracy. It does not confirm accuracy. It just confirms an experience. Oh, hallelujah. Regard prophecy. You're one of those people who need to know the future. You need to know God's true plan for the future. And you understand that somebody has it written down somewhere. You know, it's just impossible to go through this life and assume that everything just happened by what we call chance. Because every time things happen by chance, when we leave nature to chance, we get calamity. We get destruction. We get catastrophe. We don't get construction. Construction, preservation, those are the products of planning and purpose. You're committed to God's truth. Uncanny discernment faculties. Prophets and discernment go hand in glove. The first faculty a prophet must develop is discernment, because the Bible said many voices have gone out into the world and none without significance, which means none without meaning. So all of those little words that people tell you don't matter, they all have meaning. The word significant means a meaning that is an indicator of a sign or an example. So every word has meaning. Everybody has a sound, and every sound has meaning, and so you should know that. So what's your takeaway from this? Knowing what qualifies you prophetically. Now I want to give you a few of the keystone anchors. A keystone is an archstone that connects and holds things together, keeps everything together. Prophecy's keystone, number one, is that it did not begin on earth. So it's first made up that it did not begin on earth. We think prophecy began with the church. It did not. We think prophecy began with Israel. It did not. We think prophecy began with Abraham. It did not. We think prophecy began with Noah when God said make the ark. It did not. We think prophecy began with Enoch. It did not. Prophecy began in the garden. I have a class. We will not be able to cover it tonight because we simply don't have enough time. But I have a class called the Five Eden Prophecies That Rule the World. There are five prophecies that happen in the whole Edenic drama that literally rule the world, set the stage for how life on earth will go. And they haven't been revoked. I know we think they should, but they haven't been, because they were not based on the law of Moses. They were not based on any law other than what God said, thou shalt not, or thou will if you don't or do. So prophecy didn't begin on earth. And you have to recognize that. Now listen to me, because that's a good point. I'm telling you that's exciting. Why is that a big deal? If it didn't begin on earth, how can earth judge it? What did God give us on earth to judge prophecy if the institution itself, the function itself, did not begin on earth? The first prophecy in creation was in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That was the very first prophecy in creation. And it was a long time after the four more that followed. There was a long time before we heard from God again. Now, he was asking, but he wasn't predicting and prophesying. I think it's very interesting that God did not prophesy again until he got to Noah in the ark. Why was he silent? Because he'd already been done with that generation. He wasn't going to let them live. He was already in the plan. I'm done. I'm wiping you guys out. And so when God goes silent, that's not a good thing. I know there are a lot of people say, I don't want to hear from a prophet. Don't tell me anything prophetic. Don't tell me any bad news. I just don't want to hear it. I want you to understand, don't worry about it. You're not hurting God's feelings. You're just shutting yourself out of what he's doing. So you can't prepare yourself. That's as ludicrous as someone saying, I don't ever watch the news. I don't ever watch weather. I don't want anybody to tell me what the weather is. I just want to go out there and take my chances every day. You don't do that. You probably got 5 news programs in your phone, 5 news applications in your phone. And you know why? Because you need to know tomorrow's answers today, and that's what prophecy gives you, tomorrow's answers today. Well, I just don't want to hear any bad news, but you hear bad news all the time. You just don't want to hear God's news because you know that's truly bad. Because you hear bad news all the time. The news, I'm going to tell you right now, our news media today is nothing but bad news. You don't get good news out of the media. And if they give you one, they call it one good news story. One good news story. I've been watching you for an hour. You only have one thing you found that was good in life. And you know what? You live with it. And you live with it because you are, in your own mind, you feel like that's just life on earth. And so God gives you a prophecy about how he's handling the bad news and the bad life on earth, and you want to flee. Now, God's a doomsday prophet. Are you kidding? I'm looking at the news every day. Them some doomsday people. All they do is talk about doom. The stock is falling. The economy is crashing. There's murder everywhere. The terrorists are coming to get you. The things falling out the sky. The weather is turning sour. That's doomsday. Don't let anybody tell you God is a bad news God. I'm telling you, every news bureau that's got out there is bad news, and we live with it, and we pay them for it. And we chase them for more bad news. So it's not the news, it's the source. Because we can listen to that news and be paranoid. We can be dutifully afraid. We listen to God's news and we got to do something better with our lives. And that frustrates us. So prophecy did not begin on earth. Prophecy is heaven's property. Prophecy is not the property of humanity. You know, Peter said this, that prophecy never came by the will of man. There's no prophecy of Scripture that's of human invention. We didn't make this up because we didn't make God. See, prophecy cannot be about us because we didn't create him. He created us. We can't even tell you where he is. We mad. I mean, only people mad with God would love to storm his house. I'm going to get him today. I'm mad with him. Cannot find him. Prophecy is God's property. So if I'm going somewhere. I'm speaking now in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say this. All prophecy belongs to a deity. All prophecy belongs to a deity. Your psychics will tell you if they're little guys that have been channeling them, and if they're little devils or whatever. You've got other religions that will say if they're little genies and they're little jinns and all of that. But it all belongs to a deity, because if you take God out the equation, prophecy would cease to exist, because nobody would be talking about what's going to happen. It'll be guesswork. It'll be downgraded to forecasting. So it didn't begin with humans. Prophetics go all the way back to heaven. In my book, Before the Garden, we talk about the angels of the prophetic. Prophetic angels, we talk about prophecy originating in God's world and how God's world regulates prophecy in the planet. If you want to know whether a prophecy is of God or not, God gave us an entire tool, an instrument, to regulate prophecy, because for God it's very different than it is for other deities. Other deities just want to have a say and seduce you away. God is steering your life for a predetermined end. You know, it's the telos thing. He's already got the end is done. Here's why it's done, people. This is why prophecy is such a rich, rich institution. It's a rich tool. Because God is Alpha and Omega. So if he's Omega, in order for him to get us where he is already done. So God's not shocked. He can give us prophecy because he already knows. He already knows what's going to happen. What we have to do is, if we are listeners, we have to be trained to hear him and to discern what is him and what's not some of his competitors and rivals. We have to be concerned about that. And then we have to have people who are skillful enough to fend off false words and sift through false spirits and false messages to give us God's truth. And God's not getting rid of the devil. He needs the devil because there are people who don't want him. You know, the devil exists for the people who don't want God Almighty. He don't get that. You think it's something real deep. You probably thought it was going to be real spiritual, right? Oh, that's probably going to be deep. Nope. Satan exists for the people who don't want God Almighty, who don't want Jesus Christ. That is why he exists. And when God has captured everybody who wants him, Satan is out of a job. Now, that's how simple it is. It doesn't always have to be so complicated that we can't put it together. Now, the fact that that Satan is masterful at what he's doing, well, he should be. He's got to destroy bunches of lives for ages and ages. So he should be really good at it. Because he can't go to God and let somebody who disbelieves in God get through. So God gives him a voracious appetite for unbelief and a high discernment for unbelievers. And the authority to try unbelievers to prove that they belong to him. I know. Wasn't that good? You know that was good. That was sugar Jesus good. Come on. Come on. You know that was sugar Jesus good. Now, moving on. So there's a wisdom to be grace, to be grasped here. Number one, your key to accuracy, eternity, prophetic. It is not enough for you to have a weekend thing or to sit there and go blah, 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 and say the first thing on your mind and call it prophecy. Because even if you get that word, you have to prove it came from God Almighty, not just from your training. Now, I said something very profound just now. You have to prove that that prophecy came from God Almighty and not just your training or your desires. You realize that every prophet standing in front of a person can go psychic and spiritual. The choice is theirs because both sides are talking. The person's heart is talking. The devils that came to church or came before you with the person are talking. Come on, you just assume it's just you and God. No, that's not true. And then the enemy who has to try your faith, because it said when a person hears the word of the kingdom, there's the devil right there, standing right there to snatch the word out of your heart. So when you stand to get a prophecy, baby, you're not alone. It's an audience. It may be an invisible audience, but it's an audience. Hallelujah. So the Bible is our prophetic source. And as I go through this training, you're going to begin to appreciate that a lot more. Prophecy did not originate on earth. I already said that. Now, prophecy's origination, of course, we've talked about it. It began with God the Father and God the Son. Going back to Eden, the first prophecy ever uttered, was first it began with an admonishment, and then it ended in a prophecy that was a promissory note. In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And then lastly, there's the little matter of the third member of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of the prophet. The Holy Spirit is literally the spirit of every prophet. Now, this is good. You're going to like this. So, come on, raise my barasu. You're going to like this, and here's why. Because when Jesus said he cast out the God of this world, every institution that existed at the time that was contrary to him and resistant to him, Jesus Christ destroyed it. Now, what he did, he didn't annihilate it, because that's why it still exists, but he destroyed its whole. He took its authority. That's why he said all authority has been given to me. He took its authority. He put it under his dominion. And because you only know Jesus the Savior, you can't recognize how awesome a deal this man pulled off. And so he comes back and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, if he had it before then, he wouldn't have had to announce it. But what happened? He had it as the sovereign of sovereigns, but he did not have it as the Son of Man on earth. He did not have it as the Savior of the world. He did not have it as David's seed in the earth. So he had to go and win that, capture that dominion. And so he stands there and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So now you can go. Now you can go do what? You can go and what? Disciple nations, because before they were under other deities, but now I got a right. Come on, somebody. I got a right to go and get them because I decreed before this day that I was going to take out of the Gentiles and take and out of the families of the planet a people for my name. It's a big deal to God. That's why God putting Paul in ministry was a big deal. It was more than you imagine. We sit there and we have all of these things about Peter being the way we do things, and that's why we're going back to the law because of Peter and all of that. But I want you to understand that the apostle to the Gentiles was Paul. Paul was not an apostle to the Jews. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. He said it over and over again. So if you're going to follow an apostle as a Gentile, you need to follow Paul. Now, I think we need them all because, you know, I think all of them did a great job. I had a woman say that to me one time. Well, you know, we do this because, you know, under Peter, because, you know, you can still got y'all churches out there following the law and then wondering why no money coming in, having all of these rituals for a dead work. God has already ended that. That economy doesn't exist any longer. He put all of that under Melchizedek. And that's a whole other thing, but I can encourage you to go to my site and purchase the teaching I have on it. It's an extraordinary teaching, and it's going to tell you why that is killing the Christian church. And every year, you save your little money, and you give it to a law that's gone. And you celebrate days that are done. And you're expecting God to honor it, because every time you do that, you're telling God, Jesus did not do what he did. Jesus did not come. Moses is still in control. The law is still in control. Jesus is not the Son of God. He did not baptize you. See, understand, to say one thing is to unsay something else and vice versa. So the Holy Ghost comes on Pentecost, and it says God pours out his spirit on all flesh. Now, he prophesied he was going to do it in Joel, and so he finally did it. And then he says, and then on my handmaidens, on my manservants and handmaidens, I also will pour out of my spirit, and they will prophesy. Two dimensions of prophecy, people. It's right there in the book of Acts. Two dimensions of prophecy. The general corporate prophecy that comes to all the earth under the Adamic law and curse, and then that higher level prophecy that can only come from those who represent the true and living God. So you want to know how this thing got crazy? Because we kind of lumped things into one thing. We just grouped it all under one thing called prophecy. So when you read Acts, I love that, because when you read it, you read that God is telling you the prophetic has two strata. That which is completely coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that which is coming out of his dominion over every spiritual power there is. Jesus was not surprised about false spirits and devils prophesying. He already had them in heaven. He kicked them out. So that's not surprising him. He came to earth to arrest them for you and me, that we would have an opportunity to hear the truth, because up until that point, we couldn't. We couldn't hear the truth. We had Israel's prophets done in. And listen, poor things, they struggled forever. It's just their lives. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Three key questions for orientating to God's prophetic. Number one, understanding operations and engaging in them. Question number one, what should Christians understand about the prophetic? You want to write that down because that's something for you to have a good discussion over as we go forward, because that's what we'll answer here. Question number two, how can churches biblically found and ground their prophetic? Every church should have prophetic. Now, I'm telling you, whether or not a church wants it, that's fine. You know, children tell their parents to shut up and stop talking to them all the time. That's just normal. But every church is supposed to have a prophetic. Well, we have the word. Yeah, but I'm a writer. And what I wrote 12 years ago and what I write today, whole different thing. So that everyday, daily word, that spontaneous word of understanding what God is doing, that is needful. I know God has churches that where they put out prophets, and we act like God did not say in his word, touch not my anointing, do my prophets no harm. So when you throw out prophets, you are throwing out God's presence. When the Lord still meets us, no, you still feel good, and he meets you because he's in you. He doesn't meet you because he comes to the corporate meeting. He's been put out, so he can't come there. Question three. How do and can prophetic employ in God's spiritual operations? I fully understand why churches are afraid of prophets. Some of them I'm afraid of. Some of them scare me, and I'm real good at this thing. I fully understand that you have no way of knowing, and instead of trying to figure it out and fight through it and all of that, you're just like, I'm just throwing the whole thing out. So we just throw the entire thing away as refuge because we can't figure it out, and we don't have any tools and instruments, any guidelines and criteria to discern and figure it out. And so most of it is word of mouth, and most word of mouth is based on fascination and fame. So we literally judge our prophets on fascination and fame. Not on God, not on his word, just they fascinate us. Woo, I want to be like Brother So-and-so. Woo! And fame. Well, I mean, after all, he got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people following him. Do you realize how many hundreds and thousands of people are going to be in hell? Satan got more than that following him. So who's following is not it. But who's thriving is it. That's what God is talking about. And there's a difference between being rich and thriving. But we'll talk about that another time. So I fully understand some of these churches. That's why I'm doing this. Because when I was a pastor, I was like, no, I don't want to hear you say, no. No, no. And when I develop prophets, because I know some of you are all asking me for training, and I want to train you, you're welcome. Love you, dear. I love prophets. I love training prophets. I get a kick out of it. I really do. But I want to tell you something. I don't train prophets like everybody else does. I don't start at technique. I start at wisdom. So when you come into my class, I don't care whether you prophesy or not. You don't have to give me a prophetic word ever because I'm not going to give you an opportunity to do it. You have to earn the right to be trusted with the word of the Lord in my ear. See, we just give it away. And then once we start giving it away, people give us one good word, and we want to put them out there on a big stage, and now they panic, stage fright set in because that was the only word they had. But a lot of these people are one-hit wonders, like the song. We hear this kid singing in the corner or singing in the bathroom. We say, oh, boy, and we got to sign him, and that's all he got. That was it, that one song. Everything else, now we got to go and start buying other people's stuff and whatever. Prophets are like that. A lot of young prophets only had a year's worth of prophecy in them that was true. After that, they needed to be in training. Because you cannot have anybody's full mind in a year. You cannot do it. It takes a lifetime to get somebody's mind. Half of you still trying to get the mind of your mom, your dad, your husband's in your mind. You can't even be good prophets for them because it's a whole lot. Things change, life changes. So I just want you to understand that a lot of these people have 1 or 2 years of accuracy in them. Oh, come on. I know, isn't that, see? Now, I gave you some scripture down here for you to look at, principles of Psalm, you know, and I want you to go to it when you get time. Psalm 28:5 says that we need to know the operation of God's hands. Hosea 4:5-6 says that God uses prophets to accomplish things in the earth. He healed them by the words of his prophets. Okay, so now let's begin to go forward a little bit. So let's talk about our lesson targets. Number one, how did we got here? How did we get here? Number two, what are we doing? And number three, where do we go from here? Those are 3 points that I want you to think about as we go forward tonight. So let's answer the first one, how we got there. The gift took over the office. That's how we got there. We had gifted people being entrusted like officials, working independent of the institution. So I want to give you a quick class. I have a whole training on this. I want to give you a quick class. Everything God gives is a gift, everything, because you can't pay him. You can't pay, you can't afford him. I mean, even your tithes, you can give God the biggest tithes in the world, still may not afford it. Because let me tell you something, when your life was on the line, and he said, well, listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a healing if you can come up with $32 million now. Most people are going to say, sorry, Lord, you're going to go ahead on and make your last arrangements. Gifts belong, write it down. And I stand boldly on this word because I've researched it and I've studied it. Gifts belong to individuals. The office belongs to institutions. You can be a gifted typist all day long. Nobody cares. You can type anywhere you want all day long until your company hires you and then tells you where to type, how to type, what to type, and how fast to do it because you belong to their institution. What the institution has is its own vision, its own objectives, its own purpose, its own brand, its own logos. It has its own markers. So institutions are already set. You enter them. So you can be gifted all day long and prophesy up the front and down the back. You can be gifted, but who can prove that you are accurate? Nobody can prove you're accurate. well, the word, this word came to pass. That's the word we know. We don't know how many of them didn't. We don't know how many words didn't come to pass. We don't even know how many people you prophesied to. Now, I know it because I prophesied to people in the stores and restaurants. Those people, I don't know if I know, well, sometimes I do because they're fighting me. But those people, they don't come back and say it. But what I do have is a way for you to find out how I prophesy. It's in writing. It's scripturally sound. It's Bible-based because, and when I get to the definitions, it's going to make sense. So there's a way for you to tell it, but not for somebody to walk up and down the street talking about your address, your phone number, your fingernails, your hair color, and the roots of your dye. I don't know. Nobody knows about that. I mean, come on. Tell me something I can't figure out. Tell me if I'm going to get healed. Tell me if my children are going to raise up well. Tell me if I'm going to have enough money to send them to school and where it's going to come from. Tell me where I am with God. Because there are a lot of prophecies that come to pass that will take you away from Jesus Christ. Those astrological prophecies are what Deuteronomy 13 is talking about. Those palm reading, sorcery, shaman prophecies, that's them. They may come to pass because they have already hit the earth realm, but that doesn't mean that they came from God. They came from his enemies. When we get together next week, we're going to go over the Balaam case. And you're going to appreciate how that works. And we will get back into those Edenic prophecies that I introduced earlier. So what are we doing? We're seeing and saying the gift season set. Everything is subjective, everything is personal, everything is individualized, everything is how I see it. Institutions can't operate like that. When you're an institution, you have to have standards, you have to have criteria, you have to have uniformity because you're reproducing this thing over and over again, and everybody's got to get the same level and the same quality. Schools do it all the time. Schools have standards on purpose. Companies have standards on purpose. They're institutions because they are not one-hit wonders. They're not trying to run around and freelance this thing. They're trying to feed large numbers, and they want to make sure that they do it safely and they do it responsibly and that they do it profitably. So you may be profitable, but we still don't know if you're safe for the body. And when an institution has a problem, we've got to raise them. Okay, we found five cans and has so-and-so in it. They've got to take the hit, pull all of that off, and take the hit and deal with the risk because it's a responsibility. Gifts are personally responsible. Offices are institutionally responsible. Seeing and saying, where do we go from here? Good one. We must realign ourselves with biblical prophetic. We have no measurement. The only place you're going to find to measure Jesus Christ is the scriptures. Why do you think the world is trying to get rid of them? The world fights every day to get rid of Jesus Christ. We need to get rid of this Bible and put it on the desk. These people get afraid of your Bible and your briefcase. Now, you know good and well, if they're that afraid of that book, there must be something in there. You open your briefcase and say, what? Is that a Bible? That's not a Bible in here. You saw your Bible, didn't you? They are terrified of your Bible in the briefcase. Do you realize that they affirm us every day? Every loss affirms us. Every fear, every panic affirms us. Why? Because they know somewhere along the line, they know, or at least their invisible selves and spiritual selves know where the truth is, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, that's powerful. 1 Corinthians 14:29. In 39, they say, let the prophet speak, let the others judge. My question to you then is, according to what is prophecy to be judged? And if you're the everyday Christian, how can you judge a prophecy other than the fact that it was right for you or wrong for you? You see, even I stood in front of people who wanted me to prophesy certain things. People come to you as a prophet, and they're praying, God, please, Lord, just tell me that I can leave this job. Just tell me I can divorce my wife. Just tell me I can do this. They have been praying. Do you realize all of that is standing in front of you, and you have got to filter through all of those thoughts, their prayers, the intercessions they have and all praying and everything that's working that prophet over. It is not easy to be accurate, and it takes a strong character and a strong sense of discernment and powerful faculties to know that even though somebody wants you to prophesy they're going to get pregnant, God is telling you I've made them a barren womb. You have to know that because you get caught up in their feelings, their sentiments, their tears, their crying. It happens. It happens. And when people have prayed for something a long time, when they stand in front of you, you're going to have a will, steely will of iron to still give the word of the Lord. And you know that's really good. I've had it happen to me. I've had women stand in front of me, and they're telling me, oh, my intercessors are praying at home right now. That sounds really deep and spiritual, and that's their way of encouraging you. So, but that's the Ahab thing. That's like telling Micaiah, listen, all the prophets already said yes, so you can't say no. When they tell you they have intercessors praying at home, you need to understand that you are under double pressure because those intercessors are praying for them and not you. They're praying for their desire to happen and not the word of truth to come out of your mouth. And if you do that 200, 300, 500 times, it is very easy for you to get caught up in people's desires. Their heart speaks, and it doesn't just speak to them. Their hurt speaks. Their soul has a voice. Their mind has a voice. When you're in that other realm, you step out of this flesh realm, there's a lot of training and a lot of development and a lot of detection you must do before you give that word. I stood in front of people and said, now, I know you want me to say so-and-so and so-and-so, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's not God. Now, I don't say it to be nasty to them. I say it to shut down what's resisting me, what's trying to manipulate me and maneuver me in the spirit. And I do it all the time. Yeah, I know you want me to tell you, you don't want to do so-and-so, but see, here's what I'm saying. And you all know this. You listen to me every Thursday. I'm not giving you anything that is not true. When I get on my show on Thursday, I say the same thing. I know you want me to say so-and-so, but I can't say that because that's not what God is saying. Now, if you want somebody to say that, you need to go someplace where it doesn't matter who they pick up, whatever voice they hear. Me, I represent the King of Glory, and I stand for his institution. Safely directing kingdom prophetic. Do you see that? Safely directing kingdom prophetic. Having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of our faith. Everyone in God's kingdom has the potential to say something from him, for him, and in his name. But not everybody can discharge the office and the mantle of a prophet because they can say or hear in the spirit. Those are two different things. Okay? And so I just want to make that point. That gift is out there. He gives everybody a measure because God wants everybody to hear him, and he wants everybody to recognize that they hear him and be able to tell your kids, tell your family, et cetera, that what's going on, what thus says the Lord. Now, I'm going to try to get through this in a few minutes, so let's see if we can go. Evaluating prophecy definitions. Most modern dictionaries attach magic to their prophecy definitions. You don't realize that. When I first started researching them, prophecy stood alone. As a matter of fact, in the 90s, it was just said to be obsolete. Now, it's something else, all right? Because you can't beat them, so let's join them so we can corrupt them from the inside out. This is a rule that serves the Christian demolition agenda. Everything is about that. You know, and one day when we get in our webinar, which I'm planning a webinar for us, when we get in our webinar, I'll tell you how this agenda is working because we don't recognize it. We don't know. All right? The European prophecy model goes back to Athens, Greece, and Rome. Now, it's important because the definitions that you will get for prophecy will be coming from the Greek definition, the Latin definition, the Roman. We'll see that later on. Prophecy for them was different from what our Lord originated and instituted in this nation. The Greco-Roman model prophecy definitions, and listen to me because this is important. I want you to hear me. It's based on polytheistic world. Everything that you read about the definitions in there, they're expanding what prophecy was to accommodate a polytheistic culture serving a pantheon. Like their definition of prophecy and the Bible's definition of prophecy are not necessarily the same, and often they're in conflict with each other. Because with these people, everything was a god, everything was a deity. They all had their many gods, and so you had to kind of figure it out. Okay, so what god is? So is this the god of the broom or the dustpan? I'm not quite sure. So am I hearing from the god of the curtain, or am I hearing from the god of the doorway? I got to kind of figure it out. See, so every time you heard things, you didn't know what you were unless you went to what they called an oracle. You went to that prophet's shrine, and then you knew what they, hopefully, because many of them still listen to several other voices, but you went to the shrine, then you would know, okay, so I went to the oracle of Delphi, and so now I'm getting the word from this snake girl. So this is snake prophet. Because the Pythia was Python's thing. So you need to recognize you don't know where the prophets are getting that information. A lot of prophets today are not going to Jesus Christ. A ton of them are going to these occultic classes because they have, God stopped talking to them. Remember, when God stopped talking, you drop. You don't rise. So when God stopped talking to Saul, he had to go to the witch of Endor. And he had to lay on his face before what he had cursed and condemned and arrested in the past. And he had to beg for a word from God because the prophets had received a mandate from God to stop talking to Saul. And so every true, he said it, they must have had a slew of really true faithful prophets at that time because he said, God won't talk to me, not by urine, not by filament, not by the priest or the prophet. Samuel, see, that's like an institution. Samuel stood over that institution. He said, God's done. Yahweh is done with Saul. And he said, so you all cannot get another word for him. You know that's a sugar pie truth. But we'll get back to that. So when God stopped talking, you have to understand that when these people are going to shaman and they're going to the psychics and they're going to all of those soul ministries and those soul communicators, those people are going, these prophets are going there because God stopped talking. They did something to tick him off and he won't talk to them any longer. And you know, God is a jealous God. He said, my name is jealous. God's not just jealous, my name is jealous. And I'm zealous for my name's sake. And you're not going to treat me like I'm a member of a pantheon. Oh, that's good. Israel's prophecy definitions and meanings rest on monotheism. It is only voiced the first and only true God. Now, when you look up God's prophets and his word for them, it's not the same. So profemi, they are the root definitions of the word prophecy that you're going to get in the Greek terms. And this word means to speak beforehand. Presumably, the beforehand speaking was by the inspiration of a divine being. Scripture prophecy meaning differ in that it contends that there is no other God but one. So for God's people, if you're going to want a biblical definition of the prophecy, I want you to know, because I have to end on this, we're going to pick it up next week. I want you to know the biblical definition of prophecy is the word of the Lord, period. Past, present, future. Because remember, when Moses got the prophecy, got the word of the Lord on creation, that was a historical word. In the beginning, God was history. So prophecy is the word of the Lord. And prophecy voices and publishes God's mind, will, and thoughts. We're going to pick that up next week. Prophet Ashley is going to give you some announcements. And I want to thank you for joining me. Share it, and share it. Use it freely in Jesus' name.
Ooh, that was hot. Just come out of here for just a second. That was hot. Dr. Price, what should prophets do with this information that we just heard tonight?
My first answer would be to listen to it at least four times. Get it in your spirit, and don't just listen passively. Listen passively twice, and then listen to it and take notes. And then after that, pray over it so you can find out what God is doing with you in terms of this information.
All right, you heard it four times. It's going to be on Periscope for another day or two, and then you can find it elsewhere online. Just going to give you a few announcements. She's going to zoom in, or at least turn, to our screen here. Coming this month is the ABCs of Apostleship 2, Discipling Apostolic Christians. It is in production mode right now, and so keep looking out for that. We will be announcing it during our weekly broadcast as well as on Dr. Price's website. And also to let you know, Dr. Price addressed this tonight, and every time she speaks, you need to take a standardized ministry assessment from the Standardized Ministry Assessment Series. Go to you can get there two ways, Dr. Price's website, which is drpaulaaprice.com, or right here at ppmglobalresources.com. Take the ministry or the prophetic assessment. tonight or tomorrow or this weekend. And then you can also conduct a prophetic advisement with one of our prophet advisors. They are new prophetic advisements on demand. You have a need. You need to make a decision. You need a breakthrough. You can call us, schedule it. It is a part of our profession, and so there is a fee to that, but we have many customers and clients who call in for their prophetic advisement. A few more things here. Going to drpaulaaprice.com can change your life. To shop for materials, you can inquire about booking Dr. Price. Become a partner with Dr. Paula Price. Find out about Blog Talk Radio. Register for events. And, of course, sow a seed. Sow a seed tonight. It's just that simple. Again, shop around at drpaulaaprice.com. Just a few more things for you. A broadcast schedule every Tuesday right now at 8 p.m. Thursday, two times on Thursday. We have a double header of Dr. Price, 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., as well as Sunday at 7. Now, 7 p.m. on Sunday is not live. You have to go to Blog Talk Radio and listen to a Sunday sermon, a message that Dr. Price has already taught us, and get your word in for the day. Everything is in Central Standard Time because we are in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go to YouTube, key in the Paula Price Show in the search, and subscribe to the Paula Price Show channel. We want your support there as well. And finally, of course, you can text to give at 918-608-1378. You can find out all that information as well at drpaulaaprice.com. How'd I do?
You got a lot out in a few moments.
I'm learning from Prophet Adia. He is the champion of announcements.
If you want to get training, when you go to the website, just let us know. Email us and say, Dr. Price, I want some of your training. I want to learn the prophetic, and I want to understand God prophetically the way you do and the way you train others to do it. When you go, just say we want to do that. We have a webinar scheduled for our first webinar. It's scheduled for April. So pay attention. Look out for the date so you'll know it's not this. It's going to be at least 2 hours, 2.5 hours of just us going through the things that I've been teaching and breaking them out for my students. And, again, it's not free. But if you're a prophet, you know it ought not to be because the harvest on zero is zero. See how that works out? Yes. So I just want to encourage you to do that. If you want covering, if you want to become a part of our collaborative, you want my ministry, my apostleship to cover you, just hit joinmir.com. It'll tell you how to become a member and all of the benefits that come along with that. I want to thank you again because this has been a wonderful time. I want to thank you again for joining us, and I want to encourage you to join us again on Tuesday night for Discipling Apostolic Christians, and then Thursday morning for the Paula Price Show, where you call in, I answer questions, and listen, go back and listen to today's show, because it was awesome. It was really awesome. And then join us again next Thursday, where we'll pick up on prophetic ed. God bless you, and good night.